I want to start with a question this morning. How many of you remember WWJD? Remember that? That was a huge craze. I guess it's going on 20 years ago now. I mean, that was a long time ago. WWJD. What would Jesus do? It was a great question as far as it goes. The idea was, no matter what I'm facing, what choice I'm looking at, what activity I'm thinking about being involved in, I need to first ask the question, what would Jesus do? If Jesus were in my shoes, if he were wearing my shoes right now, what would Jesus actually do? That's a good question. The problem is, it's not the fundamental question that we ought to be asking. Because the reality is, Jesus has been in our shoes. Sometimes when we just say, what would Jesus do, it's like we forget that Jesus actually already has done some things. That Jesus actually did come live in this life. Jesus actually experienced what it's like to face temptation. Jesus actually experienced what it's like to live here under the sun. And he actually did some things. And if I don't remember that, when I ask the question, what would Jesus do, usually the way I answer it ends up just being, well, what would I do if I thought I was being really, really nice? You see, there's a more fundamental question that we need to ask. Instead of what would Jesus do, we need to ask, what did Jesus do? I'll just ask you, what do you think? Do you think that Jesus, if he were here today, would do something significantly different than what he did when he actually was here? So it seems to me, if what I want to figure out about the way I'm acting right now, about the way I'm planning on serving God, about the way I'm going to live my life, instead of just asking, what would Jesus do if he were right here, the first question I need to ask is, what did he do when he was right here? Because that's what's going to let me know what he would do if he were in my shoes today. Doesn't that just make sense? So we need to be asking the question, what did Jesus do? And then we'll know how to serve and honor and glorify our God in heaven, both as individual Christians and as a congregation. So today, I just want to share with you, what did Jesus do? Now, no doubt, if we wanted to look at every single action in which Jesus was involved, oh, we would be here all day into the night for a couple of days. John even says at the end of the book of John that if we were to write down everything Jesus did, all the books wouldn't be able to contain it. So we're not going to do that. Instead, what we're going to do is look at some overarching principles that govern the life of Jesus, showing what he did do. And that'll help us know what we're supposed to do. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are indeed the magnificent and holy God. And we are so thankful that you are not distant, but that you are present. And we know you hear us, and we know you respond. And Father, we are at this moment most thankful that you sent your Son into the world, first to die for us and to be resurrected, that we might have hope of resurrection, knowing that he is in fact your Son, that he is Lord in Christ, sovereign ruler, and that through him we can have forgiveness of sins and salvation. But secondly, we're thankful that you sent your Son because we can look at him and see how he lived, and we can know how to conduct our lives as we strive to be more and more like Jesus. Father, help us to bring glory and honor to your name the same way that your Son brought glory and honor to you. And help us today that what we do here will not be about me as the one presenting this message, but about you as the one who is the author of it. And Father, that what we do here today will not be about this congregation as the one hosting this assembly, but about you as the one for whom we are hosting this assembly. Father, we love you and we praise you and we long to honor and point others to you. May we learn from you today as we open up your word. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. What did Jesus do? Well, let's notice what it says. And all of the passages that we're going to be looking at today are going to come from the Gospel of John. So I want you first to turn to John chapter 8 and verse 28. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, the scripture reference is incorrect on the screen. It's verse 28. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." And now if you'll turn back just a few pages to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And we're going to notice what Jesus says there in John chapter 5 and verse 30. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Are you picking up on this, what Jesus did? I tell you what Jesus did. Jesus did only what His Father had authorized. He did only what His Father wanted. Now, I don't know about you, but that is astounding to me. Because here is, according to John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Word of God, the Word who was with God, the Word who was God, the Word who, being fully divine, became flesh in John chapter 1 and verse 14. So if there was anybody in all of human history who had the right and the opportunity to do whatever it was that He wanted, here is the one. But what did He do? Did He do just whatever pleased Him? No. He only did what the Father wanted. He would not go off on His own authority. He would only do what His Father had authorized. So let me ask you, if this is what Jesus did while He was here, what do you think He would do if He were here again? Doesn't it just stand to reason that if Jesus, when He was here the first time 2,000 years ago, that He only did what His Father wanted and His Father authorized, that if He were here today in 2015, that He would only do what His Father had authorized? Doesn't that just make sense? So what then should we do? Doesn't it just make sense that if I am only going to do what Jesus would do, that I am only going to do what the Father has authorized me to do? That is, if I want to be like Jesus. Certainly if I don't want to be like Jesus, I can do whatever I want. But if I want to be like Jesus, then I will do what my Father in heaven has authorized, and only that. But now that leaves us with a question. How could Jesus tell? Jesus would only do what His Father in heaven had authorized. So how did He know what His Father in heaven had authorized? Let's look in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 49 and 50. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. John records for us that Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has Himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." This just makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Jesus says, "I'm only going to do what the Father has authorized." How did He know what the Father had authorized? It's very simple. The Father told Him. So the Father had given Him a commandment. Whatever it was that the Father had commanded Him, He knew, if I do that thing, I'm doing what the Father has authorized. He says, "The Father has told me what to do. If I do the thing that the Father has told me, then I'm only doing what the Father has authorized." So what is it that Jesus did? What did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father told Him. Now, that's not shocking, is it? I mean, that's not brain surgery or rocket science. That's not anything out of the norm. That just makes sense, doesn't it? If He's only wanting to do what the Father authorized, then He could just do what the Father told Him to do. And He would know that what He is doing is authorized by the Father. So my question for you is very simply this. That's what Jesus did do. What would Jesus do if He were here today? Well, it makes sense to me, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that Jesus would just do what the Father had told Him. And He would know that if I'm doing what the Father has told me, I'm allowed to do this. And I'm doing it with His authority. I'll ask you this. If Jesus was doing what the Father told Him, was He doing it on His own authority or doing it on the Father's authority? That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's the Father's authority. So Jesus did when he was here do what the Father told him. What would he do if he were here with us today? He would do what the Father told him. So what should we do? What the Father tells us. And if we are doing what the Father has told us, are we acting on our own authority or are we acting on the Father's authority? Why, we're acting on the Father's authority, aren't we? When we do what he tells us, we're acting on his authority. But that's not the only thing that Jesus did. That's not the only thing that Jesus recognized. In fact, I'd like for you to flip again back to John chapter 5. If you can look in John chapter 5, this time in verse 19. In John chapter 5, beginning at verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." Jesus said, I only do what the Father authorizes. I don't do anything but what the Father has authorized and what pleases the Father. And so I do what he's told me. But what does it say here? It says that Jesus has seen his Father and he does whatever the Father shows him. He says, what I've seen the Father doing, that will I do. I do what the Father has shown me. Well, that just makes sense, doesn't it? If I want to know how to do something from someone else's authority, if they show me to do something, if they show this is how you're going to do it, doesn't it just make sense that that's the way I'm going to do it? And that's exactly what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father showed him. So I'm just going to ask you a very simple question. That's what Jesus did do 2,000 years ago. If Jesus were here in 2015, what would he do? Doesn't it just make sense that he would do what the Father showed him? See, that just makes perfect sense to me. And so, if I'm going to be like Jesus, what am I going to do? What the Father has shown me. And so now here's the question. When I'm looking into Scripture and seeing what the Father has shown me, and I'm doing things based on what he has shown me, am I acting on my own authority or am I acting on his authority? Well, I'm acting on his authority, right? If I do what the Father tells me and I do what the Father shows me, I'm doing what the Father has authorized, and I'm not going off on my own to find what I want to do. But that wasn't all. Jesus said, I'm going to do only what the Father has authorized, so I don't speak for myself, but I speak from what my Father has told me, and I don't do just whatever I want, but I do what the Father has shown me. But now I'd like for you to look in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7 and verse 24. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus provides a principle that is extremely helpful for us to understand how he decided what he did do and how he would decide what he would do today so that we can know what we ought to do. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Jesus here is talking about using his judgment to decide what he was allowed to do based on the Father's authority. Now, I got to give you a little bit of context for this to make sense to us. Here in John chapter 7, Jesus is dealing with the fact that just two chapters earlier, he had healed a man on what day? Anybody remember the day? Sabbath. Ooh. Can't do that on the Sabbath. It would be awful to heal somebody on the Sabbath. And that's exactly what the Pharisees thought. It would be awful to heal somebody on the Sabbath. It was unauthorized. God had commanded no work on the Sabbath. So in reality, a doctor, a Jewish doctor, should not be practicing medicine on the Sabbath. But Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath. And so they're basically asking him, by what authority are you doing this? So now here we are two chapters later. He's still dealing with that. And so here's what he says to them. So if you're already in John chapter 7, if you back up in verse 21, Jesus answered them, "I did one work and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it's from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. You see, what Jesus is saying here is that, no, there's no command. I've not ever seen a command where God said, go heal on the Sabbath. And no, there's no example. To my knowledge, we can read the Old Testament backwards and forwards, and not once will we find anybody ever healed on the Sabbath. But what Jesus recognizes is that God did give a command. He gave a command to circumcise, and it was supposed to be on the eighth day. And if it came time to circumcise that child and it was the Sabbath, in order to keep God's command to circumcise, they were going to do it on the Sabbath. And what Jesus points out is if we can bless a man, a child, by circumcising him and giving him the sign of the covenant, how much more can I bless this person who is in the covenant by healing them on the Sabbath? Now, you may struggle with Jesus' logic there, and we may wonder why Jesus was able to get from point A to point B, but I want you to notice what Jesus did. Jesus said, here's what God stated, and here's what he implied. When God pointed out that we could circumcise, even if it was on the Sabbath, he demonstrated that I can heal this person on the Sabbath. What I want you to recognize is Jesus did what the Father implied. He inferred from what God had revealed through his commands and through the examples, and he knew, this is what I can do. So I want to ask you, if Jesus did this when he was here 2,000 years ago, what would he do if he were here today? Wouldn't he do what the Father implied? And when he does what the Father has implied, is he acting on his own authority or is he acting on the Father's authority? Well, he's acting on the Father's authority, isn't he? And so what should we do today? Should we not do what the Father has implied in Scripture? Can we not do what he's implied? Now, I want you to notice that Jesus says, judge with right judgment. That means it's possible to misjudge. And so just because we judge something doesn't mean it's right. But when we have judged with right judgment what the Father has implied, we're not acting on our own authority. We're acting on the Father's authority. And we are absolutely allowed to do that. Why? Because that's what our Master and Savior Jesus Christ did. What did he do? He did only what the Father authorized. How did he know what the Father authorized? Because the Father told him, the Father showed him, and the Father implied it to him. What can we do? What the Father has authorized. How are we going to know? Because the Father has told us, he's shown us, and he's implied it to us as we read the Scriptures. But now the big question. The big question, why did Jesus do this? Why? Why was Jesus at all concerned about doing all of these things just as his Father had authorized? I'd like you to stay there in John chapter 7, and now we're going to read verse 18. In John chapter 7 and verse 18, Jesus said, "The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood." Why was Jesus remotely concerned about only doing what the Father had authorized? Why was he concerned about making sure he only did what the Father told him, what the Father showed him, and what the Father implied? I'll tell you why. Because to Jesus, God's glory matters. You see, this issue of only doing what was authorized was not some type of checklist. Let me see if I can keep these rules better than everybody else so that in the end I can go to heaven when everybody else is lost. That wasn't it at all. The reason Jesus did this is because Jesus wanted to glorify God. And if Jesus went off on his own authority, who would he be glorifying? Himself. When I go off on my own authority, who am I glorifying? Myself. What did Jesus do? Only what the Father authorized. What should we do? Only what the Father has authorized. Why should we do it? Because God's glory matters. Does God's glory matter to you? I present this lesson because I know that many of you have heard it before. But the problem is that sometimes I think we have this idea that these are just some kind of rules that some restoration preacher in the 1800s went up on the mountain and came down and etched in stone and said, "If you want to be one of us, this is what you say." Absolutely not. This was Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, This is what you say and do. Do you want to be like Jesus? Will you pull out your songbooks, please, if you're going to be using those this morning? If you're going to be using your songbook, it's going to be number 559, The Joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will be my strength, number 559. Jesus believed and believes that God's glory matters. We believe that God's glory matters. And because of that, we just want to do what God has authorized. We'd like to invite you to be a part of what God has authorized. We'd like to invite you to be on that path with Jesus, being like Him, holding His hand, following Him where He goes. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Peter on the day of Pentecost said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I tell you what God has authorized. He's authorized turning away from our sins based on our faith in Jesus and surrendering to Him in baptism, being immersed in water and raised to walk in newness of life. That's not some rule that we made up here. That's what God told us. That's what He's shown us. And we want to invite you to be a part of that. Are you a child of God? Have your sins been forgiven? If not, we're not going to ask you to raise your hand. We're not going to ask you to say a prayer, because we can't find where the Father told us that. But what we are going to ask you to do is submit to Him in baptism. And we'll be happy to help you with that right now. If we can help you, won't you come forward as we stand and sing this song?